Right now, millions of kids up to age 19 are eligible for free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program. Your child could be one of them. In fact, children in a family of four earning $48,600 a year or more may qualify. Regular checkups, immunizations, doctor and dentist visits, hospital care, mental health services, prescriptions, and more are covered. It's a helping hand for parents with their hands full. For more information or to enroll today, go to healthcare.gov. That's healthcare.gov. That was Inseparables by Gwai. Gwai has an exclamation point on the end for emphasis. And before that was Saper Lipopet by Clothilda. Up next is Wet Behind the Eyes by The Cowboys.
Thank you. or CT Pittsburgh. Meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
So unfortunately, we are going very much the wrong direction in a lot of ways in this country when it comes to just common decency and, quite frankly, law and order. Now, I know that law and order is typically a phrase weaponized by the right against the left, but we now have even Fox News host Tucker Carlson talking about fake vaccination cards, a card that looks like a real CDC card saying you've been vaccinated against COVID, but it's fake. Tucker Carlson referring to these cards as, and those who get them, as desperate acts by good law-abiding people. Now, it's against the law. So how do you call something that's against the law law-abiding? It's weird. We're going to look at the clip in a moment. Daily Beast writing about it. Tucker Carlson advocates for the unvaccinated to get fake vaccine cards. Quote, act of desperation. Taking his criticism of vaccine mandates to a whole new level, Tucker seemingly advocated for unvaccinated people to obtain fake vaccination cards, claiming it's not a serious crime, but instead an act of desperation for law-abiding Americans who have been forced into a corner. Earlier this week, Manhattan DA Cyrus Vance Jr. announced 15 people are now facing charges over a conspiracy to forge COVID-19 vaccine cards and fraudulently enter people into New York's vaccination database. 13 of the people charged for buying the bogus cards are, quote, believed to work in frontline and essential employee settings, including hospitals and nursing homes. The scheme involved a forger who allegedly advertised the sale of fake cards on her Instagram account for $200 apiece. For another $250, a Long Island nurse would then allegedly enter the buyer's name into the New York State Immunization Information System. According to Vance's office, roughly 250 of these cards were sold in an effort to avoid vaccination mandates. The article explains that Carlson has been a loud vaccine skeptic, has railed against mandates, has said all sorts of stuff. So let's go to the video. Here is Tucker Carlson. Take a listen.
So in good conscience, they've risked their careers to preserve their right to bodily autonomy, and now they're in jail for that.
So understand that. When you offer a fake vaccine card to someone, or you falsely enter someone into a state's vaccination database, Tucker is saying these are almost heroic people taking a risk to preserve bodily autonomy. These are crimes. This is fraud. That's what it is. And they claim to be about law and order, about, listen, this is the law.
Now, these arrests will be used to justify digital health passports for the entire American population. That is true. Save this tape. In fact, Cyrus Vance has already enlisted big tech to help root out the disobedient in New York. Quote, we need companies like Facebook to take action to prevent the fraud happening on their platform.
Now, even the use of the term disobedient is just a loaded term. Because what we're talking about when people lie about vaccination status is, number one, it's a crime. If it's a fake CDC card, you're using a federal agent. You're fraudulently using a federal agency's seal. That's a crime. But the use of the term disobedient is obviously cynical and tongue in cheek. And it's meant to say these are people who won't be bullied by the man.
It said making, selling and purchasing forged vaccination cards are serious crimes with serious public safety consequences.
They're certainly crimes. There's no doubt about that.
Consequences. End quote. Except that's a lie. Buying a fake vaccination card is not a, quote, serious crime. It's not even close to a serious crime. Buying a fake vaccination card is an act of desperation by decent law-abiding Americans who have been forced into a corner by tyrants.
Now, quite literally, when you commit a crime, you're not law-abiding. These are the people who say they hold the principle of law and order above everything. And he's essentially saying, these are decent law-abiding lawbreakers. They are desperate and good people.
You know what's a serious crime? Forcing Americans to take drugs they don't need or want. That's a very serious crime.
Now, of course, that is a complete mix-up here. that and that is not actually what is taking place. Employers can say, if you want to work here, then you must be vaccinated. If you want to shop here, the government can say our employees can do the same. There is even the legal argument based on the 1905 case, Jacobson v. Massachusetts, that the government could mandate vaccinations more generally. But that's not actually what has taken place.
And let's hope in the end someone is punished for it severely.
Yeah. So Tucker's saying that it's the people requiring vaccines that are the people that should be punished. So buying fake vaccine cards violates the law. That by definition means you are not law abiding. Making and selling fake vaccine cards violates the law. That by definition means you are not law abiding. Now, Tucker has talked about this before, about people who get fake papers to go someplace that they wouldn't otherwise be allowed. But he wasn't calling them law abiding then. He was sort of using more muted language. Now he's just going and saying it's the Trump thing of what you're seeing with your own eyes, you can't or shouldn't believe. These are law abiding, but they're committing a crime. They are breaking a law. Here's the law that they are breaking, but these are decent law abiding people. This is really scary stuff. And of course, it's only going to encourage more of it. Now with Joe Biden's federal employee vaccine requirement, I can only imagine that these people are going to go absolutely crazy. This feels like yet another one of those stories, and it is another one. It's not the same one from before. It's a different story. There is now a Volusia County, Florida councilman who has been ridiculing Dr. Fauci, who is now hospitalized with very serious COVID. This is Fred Lowry, okay? Volusia County Councilman Fred Lowry is hospitalized with COVID. Quote, he is in the hospital wrestling with COVID-19. He's pretty darn sick, Councilwoman Billy Wheeler added in the afternoon. Wheeler told the News Journal that Lowry was hospitalized Monday after being treated with monoclonal antibodies last Friday. Quote, he has been sick for around 2 weeks and got the antibody treatment last Friday, went to the emergency room late last night. Brower said Lowry had double pneumonia, but added doctors were hopeful he'd come home Thursday. He had pneumonia a couple years ago. His lungs are already pretty beat. Lowry, a 67-year-old Republican, is midway through his second four-year term. He attracted controversy this summer for promoting conspiracy theories, including some about the coronavirus pandemic, in a sermon at Deltona Lakes Baptist Church. Politics and religion very intertwined in Volusia County. We did not have a pandemic, folks. We were lied to, Lowry said on May 30th. He referred to Dr. Fauci as Dr. Falsey. I did not mispronounce that, he said. That's the way I wanted to say it. He labeled Fauci a liar and a pervert. He also took issue with, by the way, pervert. Is that even being alleged? He also took issue with media coverage of the COVID treatment hydroxychloroquine. It's funny to call it a COVID treatment because what we figured out is it's not actually a COVID treatment. And media coverage of the theory that coronavirus originated in a Wuhan lab. Lowry missed last week's special meeting. He last attended a meeting on August 17th. Whoop, and we just lost the article. It's back. Lowry last preached in a sermon live streamed August 29. Pastor Bill Hicks gave the sermon Sunday, acknowledging Lowry and many other churchgoers were absent, then turning to the subject of the pandemic. Some of you may have been told masks are mandatory. They are not. We're trying to take precautions as best as possible. But that was misinformation. You know, this is further proof that not believing in something doesn't mean it doesn't have an effect on you. You can not believe in gravity and you will still be bound by the effects of gravity on Earth, period. And this sort of reminds me a little bit, actually, of this is a nice historical note. This reminds me of the story of Ignaz Semmelweis. Semmelweis was a Hungarian doctor. And he was kind of like an early pioneer of antiseptic procedures on the basis of starting to understand the germ theory. There's these invisible things that we can get rid of with antiseptic practices and cleaning. And lots of people at the time just slammed him. They couldn't accept at the time when Semmelweis would say washing, hygiene, these things will save lives in medical settings. A lot of people didn't want to accept that at the time. And it turns out, whether you believed Semmelweis or not, you were bound by the reality that he was right about germs. if you were going from patient to patient without washing hands or sanitizing or whatever, didn't matter if you believed in it or not, it was going to have an effect on the patients. And it's sort of a similar situation with COVID, and it's similar with simply just the way gravity works. So I take no pleasure in this, but yet another COVID denier who has been hospitalized with COVID was in theory going to be released yesterday. We don't know if he was. We'll follow up if we get more information. We have a fantastic program for you today. Let me know what you would like covered next week by sending me a tweet at D Pacman. You're following me on Twitter, right? We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Remember that the David Pacman Show is funded mostly by viewers and listeners who sign up at joinpacman.com. You get access to the daily bonus show as a member, as well as a commercial-free audio feed of the show, a commercial-free video feed of the show, and so many other things. Sign up at joinpacman.com. Let's start today with Brian from Gainesville, Florida. Not Gainesville, Florida. Gainesville, Georgia. Brian from Gainesville, you're on the air.
Hey, David. Glad yes. you're doing well. And yes, that's Georgia, not Florida.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I was the caller who called in about the triage question about a month or so ago.
Okay.
So I'm really disturbed by the amount of anti-vax propaganda coming, particularly from nurses.
Mm.
And I'm just curious, what do you think we should do as a society about that?
I mean, I've said before, the best protection against disinformation is an educated, critically thinking population. I don't think that going after nurses, and again, I agree with you, there's a disturbingly high amount of disinformation coming from nurses, anecdotally. I still think nurses are not nearly the primary vectors of disinformation, but it is particularly concerning because nurses are someone that many people might say, well, it's a medical professional. I should be able to trust what they say. We actually have an email I'm going to show a little bit later on in today's show, a couple emails actually about this. I think that we really have to just educate people and teach people how to evaluate whether something they're being told makes sense. And unfortunately, you can't do this in 6 months in the middle of a pandemic. It starts much earlier, so it's a real conundrum.
I completely agree.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas?
To be honest, no. I don't have any specific ideas that come to mind. You know, I hesitate to say that, you know, if you're a nurse and you say something that is false, I hesitate to say that you should just lose your job. That seems, you know, that seems like it might be kind of draconian,
yeah,
depending on the context.
I mean, here's one thing I think is important to keep in mind. Very often people will say, the best way to fight bad ideas is with good ideas. But there's actually a problem with that, because fear, uncertainty, doubt, catastrophic predictions are much more salacious and appeal to people much more, right? Negative headlines do better than positive headlines. You're actually at a structural disadvantage just by countering wrong information about the vaccine with correct information, because there's something about the wrong information, this idea of this is what they don't want you to know, that makes it stickier. And so we actually need something more than just good information. I don't know what that something is.
Yeah, and there's so much misinformation out there that it just takes so long to go through everything point by point. It's kind of like how in arguments people gish gallop. That's,
yeah,
kind of how I see that.
Very much
so. There's so much of it out there.
And we'll keep fighting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We should.
All right. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you, David.
All right. Let's keep chatting with people, because we really have so many different people here who want to check in. Let's go next to Zach from Toronto, Canada. Zach, you're on the air.
Hey, David, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Your Discord is blinging, so please mute that, or maybe we can just come back to you later.
Okay, I have it on Do Not Disturb, so it shouldn't mute, so it shouldn't ping anymore.
Good, beautiful.
I just wanted to say that I'm a really big fan of the show.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask, what do you see a line with kind of like what the Republicans are saying right now? Like I look at like Madison Cawthorn saying like there will be bloodshed and like Marjorie Taylor Greene influencing people to like shoot vaccinated people. Do you see a line with the Republican Party? Like, do you see
Like,
there
you mean
ever
do I
being?
see a line they won't cross?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Not really. No, I mean, I think here's the thing. The line they won't, there's no moral line that they won't cross.
Okay.
The line they won't cross is over into what they think will be bad for them electorally or will be bad for their fundraising. But morally, I see no line that they're unwilling to cross. No.
Okay, and do you have any feelings of how that will look in, say, 2022 or 2024 if like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert continue getting the support they have right now?
So I'm going to let you go because the Discord won't stop blinging. I'll answer the question off air. The 2022 is going to look like now. So my belief is these Trumpian radicals are going to go into 22 the way that they've been this year. If it wins them re-election in 22, they will be emboldened and Trump will almost certainly run in 24. If they get defeated with this nonsense in 22, they will have to rethink it. And so I think the question is, once we the issue is once we know how 22 goes for them, then we'll be able to say if and how they'll modify their approach. But morally, I'm not aware of any line that these people are unwilling to cross. Let's continue speaking to folks via Discord at davidpakman.com/discord. Let's go next to Jonah from St. Louis. Jonah, you're on the air.
Hey David, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey David, I was watching a previous episode and you were making comment about how more Republicans don't come out against Trump. I think you were referring to Paul Ryan at the time, and your reason was if Paul Ryan was running for office, he wouldn't have the courage to do so. But I think, we have a couple of really good examples of politicians doing that in Liz Cheney. And Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger.
Yes, there's
So
no
I
question.
guess.
So I don't remember if I said he wouldn't. I mean, I definitely said he doesn't have to worry because he's not running. I'm not saying he definitely wouldn't if he were running for something, but it's just that he's not running for anything right now. And right now he's free to say whatever. But you're right. I mean, Kinzinger, Mitt Romney, there are Liz Cheney, there are people. It's not even always that they're coming out against Trump. They're just sort of telling some truth that the Trumpists are unwilling to hear, like Joe Biden really won. But I think it's certainly easier when you're not running for anything to just speak your mind.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I guess my point is that I think in another episode, you were sort of downplaying what Cheney and Kinzinger were doing, I guess highlighting what their downsides are more than what they're currently doing to speak up against, Trumpism.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's a missed opportunity to kind of make better examples of what's going on there. And then, making it a safer place, right, for people like them to do that.
No, but here's the thing you have to remember. The Liz Cheney told the truth that Joe Biden really won. Liz Cheney still voted with Trump's position 90% of the time. So it's not that I was downplaying. The point was, this party has become so perverted that just stating who won the election is considered dissent, and that's crazy. But at the end of the day, these are not my friends as a progressive because they still agree with Trump on just about everything. It wasn't about downplaying or upplaying. It was just about explaining on policy, these are not people I agree with.
No, I get that. I guess it's I guess the little win strategy, right? Take what you can get, and I
Sure.
think that, in this climate, it
The
seems like
problem
it was.
is, how much are we going to give them an attaboy just for acknowledging who won the election? Like, yes, compared to many of their cohorts, they're doing something that's different, but it shouldn't be something you get a. It's sort of like when parents use food as a reward, and they're like, if you eat your veggies, then we'll give you a pound of ice cream. And it's like, no. Like you get veggies are part of the meal. You don't want to use it as a, you don't want to start using as a reward something that should just be, hey, we eat a balanced diet in this house. And it's sort of the same idea. Like, how much are we going to really praise them just for telling us who won the election? I get why, but let's not go overboard.
Yep, yeah, makes sense. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Yeah, thanks for calling in. There's Jonah from St. Louis. Let's go next to Charlie from Bayfield, Colorado. Now, Charlie, is Bayfield one of the blue parts of Colorado or one of the red parts?
Extremely red.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, go ahead.
Hey, man. So I had a little commentary I wanted to make. If you would play along for a second.
Okay.
Can you spell the word, or can you say the word SAUSE?
SAUSE?
Or CE, my bad, CE.
Oh, that's sauce, right?
Okay, what about the word AURA?
That is aura.
Aura. Okay, interesting. I'm just kind of weirded out about how you always mispronounce Vosh's name after he told you what it is.
Oh, it's just a joke. It's just an ongoing joke. That's all it is. And I think he says Pac-Man as well or something like that. It's just a joke.
Is it not Pac-Man?
It's Pac-Man, not Pac-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. So just a little back and forth between you guys.
Yeah, it's just a joke.
Oh, hey, I was upset because I was hoping it wasn't some giga cringe on your part, so.
No. We have a strict no giga cringe policy on this show.
Okay. I believe it. I believe it. Well, hey,
Which is
thanks for
why
taking
I'm
my
gonna have
call.
to, which is why I'm gonna have to let you go. Okay, and Charlie bailed. All right, wow. Clip it. That's quite a phone call. Okay, let's continue here. Let's go next to Miles from Bay City, Michigan.
Hello, Mr. Backman. Can you hear me?
Just barely, Miles. I'm gonna crank you up as loud as I can.
How about now, sir?
It's marginally better.
One of more common on observations I've been seeing, since I've been working back in the office. I mean, I've been kind of appalled by the amount of people that are hanging flags or having decorations that are, having profanities like F-bomb Joe Biden, and it's just like, really?
I know it's
Like,
very it's like a continued coarsening of the discourse. I saw a video earlier today of a guy just walking through a retail store with an F. Biden flag. And it's less about like I don't care, I don't care about the profanity, but these are what I call ASBs. These are attention-seeking behaviors. And very often there's like something going on emotionally for the people that do it. Because F. Biden, this is not, I feel really strongly about abortion and I'm against it, right? I would disagree with you, but at least it's sort of like substantive, at least ostensibly. But F. Biden, it's just an attention-seeking behavior. And I almost sometimes wonder whether it's better not to give it any attention, not to even acknowledge it.
I mean, I can definitely understand that aspect, but I don't know, maybe it's just like growing up as a kid, I don't recall seeing anything of this sort to where it's just like I grew up in a Christian household, even saying, any even lesser swear word was very punishable. So the fact that, there are kids out there today that kind of see this stuff, and I don't know if kids are like me when I was growing up, I'd see something and I'd repeat it. So it's just a matter of, oh, great.
Yeah, I
Now what?
mean,
Now we're gonna bring kids
I
around
don't have
us.
that hang up. Like, I don't really worry about kids seeing profanity. In many countries, TV has profanity and it's just like no big deal. So for me, it's less about that. It's just that the discourse is getting stupider and stupider, and people don't understand the difference between what kind of a statement is a factual statement and what kind of a statement is a statement of opinion. And we're really just losing our ability to even disagree because people misunderstand what it even means to have an opinion disagreement versus to be unable to establish the facts of something. So for me, it's more of like a structural problem.
Ah, very understandable.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time.
So,
sir.
But let me ask you, so when you see the F. Biden flags that coworkers have, do you acknowledge it or mention it in any way, or do you just ignore it?
Thankfully, none of my coworkers do. It's just I got quite a commute to the office, so it's more along the lines of, you know, as I'm going to work and passing through.
I gotcha.
Stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And it's, to me, it's still just a little eyebrow raising. Again, it's just the amount of profanities, and it's just like, come on, think of, I don't know.
For you, the children thing is an important part, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
It's not a paid job. It's part of a hobby, but I help teach martial arts, and, you know, I have a, you know, soft spot for kids. You know, I want to make sure I teach them good things and stuff like that outside of martial arts. So at that point, when I see that stuff, I'm like, I guess they don't care about kids seeing that kind of stuff. I mean, I've seen one where it's the same kind of font, except it says impeach Biden. I'm like, sure. Thank you. At least you have the decency to not use profanities.
At least that's ostensibly a political statement. Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate the perspective. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's take a quick pause. If you're holding on to talk to me and you continue to want to talk to me, if you've not been dissuaded yet, just hang on because we're going right back to the phones momentarily. We're continuing to speak to people in the audience. You really make the show what it is. If it weren't for you, I would just be a guy in a room with a microphone talking to nobody. So you're making this situation much less sad that you're there. Let's talk next to, let's go to Mark from Dublin. Now, is this Dublin, Ireland, or one of the many Dublins in the United States?
This is Dublin, Ireland.
All right. Well, hello. Welcome.
Hi. So I was wondering what your thoughts are on on Trump's immigration policy compared to Obama's immigration policy. I think you and I would both agree that whilst Trump is a lot worse than Obama and Biden, neither are as progressive as we would like. And I believe that Obama deported more people than any previous president. So how do you think we can critique Trump's immigration policy and retaining the big picture of systemic issues with the American immigration policy?
Well, I think the systemic issue is that there's a couple of systemic issues, and neither Trump nor Obama solved them. And we could argue about to what degree did they make them worse or do nothing about it or fix them a little. One is the overwhelming focus on the individuals who are in the United States illegally versus cracking down on the companies that continue to hire them. If you really want to, like, aside from a guest worker program, whether it should be illegal to just come, like, whatever your views are, the lack of crackdown on the companies doing the hiring continues to be one of the biggest aggravating factors in the situation remaining what it is. Obama didn't fix that, and Trump didn't fix that. I think Trump showed even less interest than Obama did in dealing with that. So that's one thing. I think that's a fair critique. Number two, DACA is a massive issue. Some kind of permanent solution to DACA seems to be in the top three issues when it comes to immigration. And that continues to be an issue. And we can continue to criticize for the lack of a permanent solution there. So I agree with you that President Obama left much to be desired when it comes to immigration. Trump really scaled up one of the most outwardly despicable aspects, which were, you know, the family separations and the so-called kids in cages. And I know the counter is that that also existed under Obama. I wouldn't deny that. But scaling that up in conjunction with this very xenophobically motivated, I call it for shorthand, a majority Muslim country ban. I think there's certainly more criticism of Trump than of Obama, although there's plenty to criticize of both.
Okay, fair. What are some specific policies under Trump that you think made him particularly bad? Just the scaling up, or are there additional policies?
Well, so it, again, a lot of what Trump did wrongly on immigration is not just the scaling up of the separations and kids in cages. It was also using the pandemic to very cynically be able to do more deportation under the guise of public health while clearly not actually caring about it. Using the lack of DACA resolution as a sort of stick with which to bully people. I mean, he didn't pass that much policy other than the majority Muslim country ban. It was sort of the totality of his rhetoric, his cynical use of the pandemic to continue a xenophobic immigration policy. You know, it's all these things together. It's less about here's the laws he signed, the bills he signed.
Okay. So it's also how he enforced the laws that
Indeed.
Were in place.
Indeed.
Okay. Yeah, well, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate speaking with you again.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's go next to Scipio in California. Scipio, you're next.
Hey, David. Do I sound okay?
You sound great.
Okay, cool. So I'm from California, so I've been following the California recall election.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you a couple things.
Sure.
How do you think the California recall is going to go? Like, who do you think is going to come out on top? And if the worst case scenario happens where Larry Elder gets the win, how do you think that would go?
So I am increasingly confident that when it was 50-50 in terms of keep or remove Gavin Newsom, not enough people were really paying attention yet. And over the last 10 days, as many shows, including ours, have been talking more and more about the recall, we've seen Gavin Newsom pull to almost like a 10-point lead for keeping him rather than removing him. So I'm cautiously optimistic that Gavin Newsom is going to stay. Now, if he doesn't and Larry Elder becomes the governor of California, I think it would be so horrifying that I'm not even ready to make any predictions as to what would happen. I think it would be untold orders of magnitude disaster. And I'm sort of trying not to even take it that seriously because it would be so horrible. And I'm optimistic that Gavin Newsom will stay.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And my family, most of my family works in medicine. So we're all very concerned about the possibility of a Larry Elder win. Just for what that would mean for masks and vaccines in the state alone.
It would be a nightmare. Now, are you as sort of cautiously optimistic as I am that Newsom will prevail?
Yeah, it was either early this morning, late yesterday. I looked at the polling data again for the first time in a bit, and I breathed a sigh of relief, but I'm hesitant to be that optimistic because I don't know what's going to happen in the next week we have left of this thing.
I understand. And by the way, I'm hoping to cover the results live on Tuesday. Will we even get live results on Tuesday, or are they not going to be known until later in the week?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
From what I understand, we'll know Tuesday, but I don't know if something else is going on.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I'll plan to cover some of it anyway. And then if we don't know exactly, we don't know, but that sounds good.
Yeah, great. Thanks for taking my call, man.
My pleasure. Thank you for the call. Let's hope for the best there in California. It could get very ugly, very, very ugly. And that would be I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. Let's try Bart from California. It's been a while since we've heard from Bart. What's going on? Bart from California, you're on the air. Please unmute and you'll be able to chat with me. And Bart from California, last chance.
I'm here, David. Can you hear me okay?
Now I can sort of hear you, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. I apologize. I was trying to figure out the new... I need to learn more about Discord.
Okay.
I really have two questions for you and thoughts. One is there any way to get the message, this progressive message that you're also supporting, obviously, to the other side, so to speak. In other words, there's a lot of echo chamber going on, obviously, in the red states and so on. How can we combat that, number one? Because I think that's part of it, is there's just no other way to get to these people, and it seems like. And two, would you be willing to do something along those lines to help get the message out?
Sorry, to get what message out?
Oh, to get your message out to, you know, because right now it seems like a lot of times we're basically in an echo chamber of our own, where we're listening to your progressive message and all that. But I'm just trying to think of ways to help get the message to Republicans and those people that have basically a Fox News echo chamber. So I'm just trying to figure out ways we can help them, you know, maybe some of them anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is a much bigger issue than you know, anything I can do. Obviously, anytime I, you know, when Trumpists call in, I talk to them, and we have a lot of right wingers who are in our audience. And what, yeah, you know, but these are bigger issues about algorithms on social media and confirmation bias. These are really big things that are sort of bigger than any one show.
Right.
Anything I can do, I would be glad to do, of course, you know, but it just, yeah, this is such a massive issue.
I know. Is there any possibility of having the show on Fox News? I know it sounds funny, but commercials or any kind of thing like that. Is there anything that we can do, or is it all controlled by Fox News? They just know.
That's
Sorry.
Interesting. You're saying, could we buy a commercial for the David Pakman show on Fox News?
Correct. That is correct.
That's interesting. That's an interesting idea. I mean, listen, I'm more than willing to look into that. We'd probably have to crowdfund for, I don't know what it would cost. Mike Lindell would know, right? He's run commercials on that.
Exactly.
I think if we put a commercial for the David Pakman show on Fox News, it would be fascinating. Let's if anybody in the audience wants to help look into that, that would be great.
Yeah, please add my name to the people supporting it, however I can help.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we'll look into that part.
Okay, and that's all really the questions I have. I was just thinking about that particular idiom of how to reach some of these people, that, because I know a lot of them, even my own siblings,
yep,
are having, it's a long story, but I have two siblings that are problematic in this area.
Anyway. I gotcha. All right, good. Well, I appreciate the call, Bart.
Thanks so much, David. Love your show.
Thank you. There's Bart from California. Advertising on Fox News. I mean, what could it cost? Could it be 50 grand for a spot? It's probably not even. I don't know. We should look into that. Let's go next to Mark from Memphis. Mark, you're on the air. Mark from Memphis, you're on the air. And Mark from Memphis, last chance to unmute and talk to me. Oh, boy. I heard David. It's not going well there. That's too bad. Let's go to Noah from Fort Lauderdale. Noah, how are things down there? The craziness was just going when I left Miami about a month and a half ago.
Oh, Mr. Pakman, you have no idea.
It's crazy.
I would almost go as far to say as diluted.
Diluted or diluted?
Whichever works.
Okay, good. Either, maybe both. Yeah. What's going on?
I had a question about the so I was never really a political guy until COVID hit. And when COVID hit, I started essentially studying right-wing media because I knew the circus was going to be great. I'm curious to know about if you have a connection, or at least a connection that I drew, about like right-wing agitation about Kamala campaigning for Newsom over Trump campaigning for Roy Moore.
So is there an analogy between the two?
Yeah, I think there is, where a lot of Republicans would support Roy Moore after all of the insane allegations. But now there's even more outrage that Kamala is campaigning for Newsom.
Oh, I see. So you're saying, is it possible that Kamala Harris's support of Newsom will hurt Newsom?
Yes.
I mean, it's really just, it's an empirical question. Nationally, Kamala Harris is not polling very well. My guess is that in blue states, she's polling better, and that in her home state of California, she's polling even better. My guess is that the numbers have been looked at by the Newsom campaign and they've made the call that it's better for her to help. But I understand the concept. If people don't like her, they might be turned off. But here's the thing. If you kind of like Newsom, but you don't like Kamala, I don't think that her campaigning makes you go vote for Larry Elder, you know? So I'm not hugely concerned about that.
Well, my big concern is, like I said, I've essentially been studying right-wing media, and I'm sure you're familiar with Candace Owens.
Of course.
Have you seen that she's put out a statement essentially saying that a national divorce is inevitable?
You mean like the country splitting into two countries?
Yes.
Oh, I don't care what she says. I don't know that she's ever been right about anything, and she's one of the biggest grifters I know. So I couldn't care less what she says. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Pacman. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Got a lot of respect for you in the show.
Thank you. All right. Stay safe in Florida. It sounds crazy down there.
No promises.
All right. Very good. Let's see who else we could chat with today, because there are so many people that want to get on today. Let's try, let's go to Greg Peach. Greg Peach, you're on the air.
Hi, David. So I've been on in queue for a while, and you took a break, and I was just really surprised because it lasted like less than 5 seconds. Why did you need to take such a small break? I would think you need like at least 5 to 10 minutes for a substantial break.
Yeah, no, that's true. I like to keep the breaks very short. And by the way, are you running a lathe in the background?
Oh, you can actually. Okay, shoot, you got me, David. My audio is not perfect. I'm sorry.
All right. Did you have a question today?
I guess, yeah, I had a real question. Have you ever considered like writing books, like Tom Hartman? He's written a lot of books.
You know, I have. I'm currently in discussion now about a book. And the question with the book is, what is the book about? You know, so I want to make sure I'm doing something like, I don't want to just throw together a book in a month like some people have done. And it's sort of like of no value whatsoever. But I do. I am currently exploring different ideas and treatments for a book.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Now, are you willing to tell me what is the power tool that's running in the background?
It's an air filter. I just picked one up because I was worried I'd get allergies. I haven't had problems with that, and I just leave it running all the time for like better air quality.
Oh, okay. Do you feel that your allergies are better with it on?
Yeah, I think it works.
Good. Good. All right. Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Well, sort of a slow deceleration on the calls today, but I do appreciate everybody I was able to speak to. And I look forward to speaking to more people again next time we take calls. We'll go to a break and be back right after this. All right, let's get right into your emails for the week. If you want to send something in, comment, question, trolling, critique, whatever, use the email address info@davidpacman.com or click on the contact button at davidpacman.com. Either way, it'll all go to the same place. Let's go through and see what is on the minds of the people. That is ultimately what matters. I heard from Kay, who says, "Hi, David, it's been interesting seeing how many, for lack of a better word, crazies we have living among us in the U.S. and Australia. The only thing I want out of this when things finally settle is an agreement from the right that if you can argue that no one can tell you what to do with your body, then at a minimum, we should all agree that no one can tell a pregnant person whether or not they carry a pregnancy to term. I don't agree that a fetus is a person, but if we ignore that position, no one can argue against abortion that you're taking a life, because your failure to take a vaccine or wear a mask puts the rest of us fully viable and already living people at risk. But I suspect consistency is something right-wingers aren't really bound by. Keep up the good work. Appreciated you having guest hosts rather than no show. Helps that I already follow Jesse and Farron." Yeah, I mean, listen, Kay, without saying this is the only way to present the hypocrisy, the hypocrisy we are seeing from the anti-choice right with the My Body, My Choice stuff during the pandemic. It is an incredible hypocrisy. And I want to remind people of something I've been saying for a long time. Their stated principles are not sincerely held in many cases. It's just the talking point that they believe gets them to the political outcome they want most readily. And when the talking point no longer works or doesn't apply all of a sudden, then they abandon it completely. They are transparently dishonest in that way. Let's continue. Next message is from Matt. This is just horrifying. Matt wrote in, "Hi, David. My mom is a medical doctor in North Dakota. She told me today that she had a patient who claims that a different medical provider, a nurse, told them that the COVID-19 vaccine causes an increase in, quote, non-food cravings for things like cigarettes, alcohol, etc. And literally in the nurse's notes for that patient that my mom was reading, the nurse wrote down exactly that. She advised the patient against the vaccine because the patient was trying to quit smoking. Obviously, this is more anti-vax BS, but neither my mom nor I had heard of this one before. So I figured it might be interesting to let you know. Thanks, Matt." Yeah, you know, there's a sort of like the calls are coming from inside the house type of nuttery going on. And to hear that there are medical providers that are opting against getting vaccinated where it's allowed, that's extraordinarily distressing and disturbing. And then to hear something like, you know, "I don't think the vaccine is right for you because you want to quit smoking and the vaccine will make you crave cigarettes." So that's a new reason that they've come up with not to get vaccinated. Horrifying stuff. And as crazy as any of these things sound to you or me, remember that there are people for whom this sounds reasonable. And that is maybe the most horrifying part of it all. Email from Angie. Angie wrote to me, "Mr. Pacman," of course, spelling my last name wrong. Very common that people who write in to suggest conspiracy videos don't spell my name correctly. "Mr. Pacman, take a look at this YouTube video. I believe that you will see things differently." This is a video from Dr. Christina Parks that's been floating around. I don't even know if Dr. Parks is a medical doctor. You know, this is another hypocrisy with the right. They love to play coy with, how does Jill Biden get to be called Dr. Biden if her doctorate is in education? And then all of a sudden, they have people commenting on vaccines like that person last week we highlighted who has a PhD in like organizational systems commenting about FDA approval process. Anyway, the Christina Parks video has been floating around. It is not credible. It's been debunked. It is not something I would be paying attention to. Let's just put it there. And I did see the video. It makes me see things differently in that I'm realizing there are people who are even more gullible than I previously believed. That's what I learned from watching this video and reading the comments. Next email is from Deanna. Deanna wrote, "Can you do a segment of how many people got COVID at Obama's birthday? How many had COVID at the party and made it a super spreader? Just thought that it would be great for those people to know the answer. People are asking me, hey, what about Obama?" As far as I know, the Obama birthday was not a super spreader event. I, however, don't think there's anything special about Barack Obama. I said I went to a birthday party a couple weeks ago. 12 people went. Vaccination was required. And a test at the door was required. My friend got tests and everybody was tested on the way in. It felt safe. It felt responsible. When I asked Dr. Racaniello about it last week, he said, you know, even if someone was incubating, you probably have 24 hours of not being contagious, assuming you got a negative test. I don't know if everybody at Obama's birthday was tested. We've not heard of it as a super spreader event. Doesn't mean there might not have been cringy videos released. That's a totally different story. But I don't believe the rules should be different for Democrats or Republicans. If you've been watching this show long enough, you would certainly know that. OK, let's go next to Michael's email. I find this one interesting. Michael wrote to me about the voicemail segment. And Michael said, "David, I would first like to say I enjoy the show. I find your temperament soothing on my drive home from work. You're funnier than people give you credit for. But if you let that go to your head, you will ruin it. Choose wisely. To the point, sir, I noticed you seem to have stopped finding the humor. in these ludicrous voicemails you play. You look drained while they play. If you don't enjoy it, don't do it. Got to take care of yourself first, sir. Either way, love the content. Be well. No, I mean, I sort of play up. The truth is, Michael, this is actually sadder. I'm kind of so desensitized by the completely out of this world wacky stuff that comes into the voicemail line and the email line that I really don't have nearly the reaction to it that I should. Like, I should be depressed. I should be drained by the voicemails and emails that I'm getting from people. But for some reason, I'm not. And I think it's that I've become desensitized. So I think I just kind of play up, you know, when I'm listening to those voicemails. But it's not about enjoying it or not enjoying it or whatever the case may be. But let me tell you, Michael, I really do appreciate the concern. That is a really important thing. I love that you're concerned about me, but all is fine. If at some point I don't want to play the voicemails, it's as simple as saying no more voicemails and I will make the decision. Because ultimately I am the decider on the show. Okay, last one here. We're including a hate mail. I'm including the full name of this person because it's not their real name. They write to me under a pseudonym, John Smith. And this individual wrote to me and said, dude, you're a hack. Biden left 85 billion military equipment left behind, including night vision recognition technology, which has all Afghans who helped American. I'm reading it with the grammar that it came in. 13 additional U.S. military casualties. This was the most one single event. F up by any American president in the history of the world. Make that the dumbest effing thing ever done by a world leader in the history of the world. That was one sentence. Continuing, you support this? Then you're an effing idiot. You can only hide ignorance for so long. Biden, already an idiot, took the worst job an idiot can take. Now, this idiot is on display for the world to see. I'm having trouble following who the idiots are. What a proud day for capital L liberals. Maybe $85 billion was worth getting rid of basically Lib Dems, Biden, all members of the squad. Thank you all. Will America make it to the 2022 elections? China, Iran, and Russia are getting ready to take the lead in world power. So there's geopolitical confusion here. Iran is not in the running here to be world superpower at this point in time. Could be in the future, but not right now. The question of Joe Biden leaving Afghanistan is one to which I have an emphatic and definitive answer. We had no business being there. And I'm thrilled that Joe Biden got us out. The arc here is George W. Bush got us in. We stayed for 20 years. Obama didn't get us out. Trump didn't get us out. Biden got us out. Were there tactical elements that could have been better handled? Yes. But there would have been tactical elements that could have been better handled if Trump did it as well. And when Trump was actually asked to articulate with Stuart Varney last week on Fox Business, what exactly would you have done differently? What do you make of the specific criticisms? Trump ranted about who knows what. He had no actual answer. So I am very happy that Biden got us out. $85 billion is very little relative to what's been spent. And it is right for us to be out. It was, you know, the scrutiny that is being applied to getting out over the last month was never applied to 20 years in Afghanistan. So, you know, John Smith or whoever, be mad at me if you want. But maybe spend a little more time on syntax and grammar than making foreign policy criticisms that you seem to not fully understand. All right, my friend, if you have an email, if you want to be featured in the Friday emails, write to info@davidpakman.com. I look forward to hearing from you, but be polite. Be polite, guys. Don't be like John. We've got a great bonus show for you today. Sign up at joinpakman.com. Get yourself instant access. Plus, when you're a member, you're supporting the show, and that's a beautiful...
We are Microwaves, reminding you that the most important things in life are to crush your enemies,
to see them driven before you,
and to hear the lamentations of their women while listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
You're listening to WRCT Feedback Radio.
Senator John McCain, and I'm from Arizona, but when I'm in Pittsburgh, I always listen to WRCT. one of the finest stations in all of radio, and Carnegie Mellon University is one of the finest academic institutions in our country. Be sure at your next election to vote early and vote often.
Top Dog in Pittsburgh, WRCT.
It's been a long time since you've touched the hand and the heart of that special someone. You're not alone. This is WRCT Pittsburgh's Radio Automation Service. Stay tuned for more tracks from our radio and record library.
This is Grant Lee Phillips telling you, if you're wondering where you're tuned to, it happens to be 88.3 FM, radio's finest. WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hi, we're the Deliverance Strangers, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's where things like this go. Right down the drain.
Hovland, you're listening to 88.3 WRCT FM, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Is Mark G of the Evolution Control Committee, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, where the drunken pants are going wild.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Automation is the key. I am Dr. Jazz, PhD.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Hi, this is Kristen Hirsch. You're listening to 88.3 FM, WRCT Pittsburgh.
WRCT Pittsburgh. We love monkeys.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Hey, we're the 1985, and whenever we're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we like to pick up 13-year-old runaways at the Greyhound station and listen to WRCT! Woo!
This is Brad Yoder, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
Now, it's E. Dueto from the Love Dogs, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
WRCT Pittsburgh. The last bastion of pulchritude.
Hey, this is Tom from the band Loose, and you are listening to 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, this is Kimon Amali, and you're listening to WRCT-FM. Keep it locked, Rasta.
This is Martin Atkins from Pigface, and you're listening to WRCT 88.3 FM.
You're tuned to WRCT Pittsburgh's automation.
The pose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
This is Satan. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
This is Ziggy Marley, and you're listening to WRCT in Pittsburgh, you know? Go Steelers.
Hey, this is Steve Archer.
And Donna Lynch.
From Ego Likeness, you're listening to WRCT Radio.
Hey, this is Ben Foles, and you're listening to WRCT. It's 2 for Tuesday, 3 for Thursday, Ladies Night Wet T-Shirt Contest on 88.3 FM, biatch.
Thank you.
From Late Show with David Letterman, and you are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
If they had only waited till today, there would be now 40 or 41 people still alive in this universe of ours. They would not wait because these men were expendable. Guards, prisoners, had no meaning in the scheme of things of our white totalitarian world.
50 years ago today, New York State troopers raided the Attica State Prison in New York to violently put down a rebellion by prisoners. Through a haze of tear gas, police opened fire, killing 29 prisoners and 10 guards. A state cover-up of the mass killing began that day, September 13, 1971. Will air long-suppressed testimony of Attica survivors who were tortured by guards.
They took me and they nailed me down the table in the eye and they beat me in my nuts. Threatened me and dropped cigarette butts on me and hot shells on me and spit on me.
We'll speak with three guests. Tyrone Lockins, a prisoner who survived the uprising. David Rothenberg, who went to Attica to negotiate on behalf of the prisoners. And Michael Hill, director of the new HBO Max documentary Betrayal at Attica. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United States marked the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks with somber memorials across the country Saturday. Saturday's memorial service in New York began with a moment of silence at 8:46, the moment the first of the two planes struck the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. Relatives then read the names of the victims of the attacks. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris were in attendance. Ahead of the memorial, Biden released a video message calling for national unity.
To the families of the 2,977 people from more than 90 nations killed on September 11th, 2001 in New York City, Arlington, Virginia, in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the 1,000 more who were injured. America and the world commemorate you and your loved ones, the pieces of your soul. We honor all those who risked and gave their lives in the minutes, hours, months, and years afterwards.
Later on Saturday, Vice President Harris joined President Biden at the Flight 93 National Memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
In America, our diversity is our strength. At the same time, we saw after 9/11 how fear can be used to sow division in our nation. As Sikh and Muslim Americans were targeted because of how they looked or how they worshipped.
Biden and Harris also visited Arlington, Virginia, to lay a wreath at the site of the 9/11 attack on the Pentagon. Meanwhile, the FBI has released the first of several previously classified documents examining connections between Saudi citizens and two of the 9/11 hijackers. The first document provided no conclusive links between prominent Saudis and the attackers Khalid al-Mihdhar and Nawaf al-Hazmi. 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi citizens, and families of 9/11 victims have long suspected senior Saudi officials provided funding and assistance for the attacks. Former President George W. Bush drew comparisons